This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, last Thursday's election in the North for the Assembly resulted, as expected, in Sinn Féin being returned as the largest party and therefore entitled to nominate their leader, Michelle O'Neill, to be the First Minister in the North. The hopes that that might happen and an Assembly might be formed, government might be formed, were dashed very quickly yesterday by the DUP. Jeffrey Donaldson said that he wouldn't enter any government or participate in the Assembly until the Northern Protocol, which is an essential feature of the agreement between the British government and the European Union, until the protocol was done away with. It's a mortal blow to the idea of a government being formed in the North. They have 6 months now to try and reach some agreement, whether it's between, well, it's obviously got to be between the EU and the British government. Otherwise, there'll be another election, so, and probably another stalemate. To discuss the options and the difficulties facing everybody now, we're joined by former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. Bertie was key to brokering the Good Friday Agreement, along with Tony Blair and Bill Clinton. It was 24 years ago when the Good Friday Agreement was signed. Progress has been made, but an essential part of that agreement depended, many believe, on goodwill and good relationships between the parties involved. Bertie, thank you very much for joining us. We're very grateful to you. The result on when they were announced on Friday gave everybody a lift, particularly nationalists and Republicans, but we're back in the same old spot again, aren't we?
Yeah, Eamon, this was the 70th election of the Assembly since 24 years ago. And we've had a 3 months now of a suspension of the executive. That was after 2.5 years of the executive functioning. Prior to that, there was a 3-year suspension. So, as you said, we're back in the same old position. Unfortunately, there seems to be always a reluctance or an inability, whichever way you want to look at it, of the main parties. At one stage, Sinn Féin brought down the executive 5 years ago, and then 3 months ago, the DUP brought it down. So we're back into the merry-go-round again. Probably a bit more complicated this time because it's not just the parties to the executive.
Yes.
It's the EU and the UK are pulled into this in a big way.
Yeah, it's important to establish the truth of the Northern Protocol. This was a protocol agreed by the Boris Johnson government with the European Union. It enabled Boris Johnson to declare Brexit done, to go to his own electorate and gain an 80-seat majority. But it appears that he really didn't have any intention of honouring that protocol agreement, did he?
That's a very fair summation of it. He needed a withdrawal agreement.
Yeah.
And the protocol is only one small part of it. It's a very important part from our point of view. But what it allowed him to do was to answer what seemed like the will of the people of most of United Kingdom at the time, and get ahead with it. As you remember, some of those negotiations happened in the afternoon, 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
A most strange time to be wrapping up a deal. Of course, most people were thinking about the Christmas turkey or ham or something, yes, and weren't thinking too much of this. So that's what he did. And of course, a few months later, he said he didn't agree with it. He negotiated it with the time, with the then Taoiseach Leo, and then he reneged on it.
And the DUP supported it.
The DUP supported it. I mean, the odd thing about all of this, it's a bit of history now, I suppose, but it's no harm remind your listeners, Eamon, that there was a far better deal.
Yes.
That would have avoided a lot of the problems that the DUP say are the cause of it from Theresa May's government, because what that would have done was kept the single market for the entire of the UK, which would have alleviated the main problem they have of goods travelling from Scotland, Wales, England to Northern Ireland. But of course, that isn't what they did. The DUP totally opposed that deal,
yes,
went with Boris's deal, and then, of course, found out that Boris had reneged on them and left them down, to put it bluntly.
Yes, and they paid a small price. They lost 3 seats in the election, and they were outflanked on the right by the traditional unionist voice, who took a seat off them. But they have the capacity to stop the Assembly working, and therefore to serve the people of the North. Where can this be solved without trust and goodwill, such as you had with Tony Blair in the first instance?
Well, I think, Eamon, there's a number of points, and just to make them quickly. Unfortunately, and our Foreign Affairs Minister, Simon Coveney, has admitted this, that the relationship of partnership and trust between the Irish government and the British government is not good.
Yeah.
I'm using his words, so it's not me making an analysis of that.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we know from Marcus Sakovic, who is the negotiator,
yes,
for the European Union, that his relationship with the United Kingdom, to put it at its very mildest, is very poor.
Yes.
And we know that the parties in the North are not very trustworthy of the British government, and have said that Brandon Lewis, who is the Northern Ireland Secretary, that he has to deal with it. So all around, there's bad blood, to not put a tooth in it. I suppose where we have to look at now, Eamon, I think there's two things. On Friday, the Assembly will meet. I presume they'll go through the ritual. They'll nominate,
yes,
Michelle Neal. There has to be, under the Good Friday Agreement and under the De Haan mechanism, which is the process of voting, there has to be a First Minister from the biggest party, that's from Sinn Féin now, for the first time in 101 years. The next position is Deputy First Minister, has to come from the DUP, because they're the second biggest party. So, as you said at the outset, they've made it clear that that's not going to happen. So therefore, accepting realities, not that we like it or agree with it or support it, but we accepting realities, we have to now start looking to see if there's a way of solving the problem between the UK and the European Union. And effectively, as I understand it, and I've been briefed reasonably up to date, no negotiations really have taken place since the executive fell 3 months ago. But there are three big areas in this, in the protocol, that are causing a difficulty. And the first one, I should say, is the Queen's speeches today.
Yes.
And there was a fear that it's not going, of course, going to be delivered by the Queen. But that speech, which is reading out the British government's plans, there was a fear that they might try and bring legislation to set aside the protocol.
Yes.
I hope that doesn't happen. It would be crazy, and it would really make things far worse. But let's hope that doesn't happen. So then we look at where the difficulties are, and there are three main difficulties. They're in three areas of the protocol, 5, 7, and 10. One is state aid rules, the level playing field, to make sure the EU can't get one up, and the British can't,
yes,
get one up on That should be not a difficulty, I think. Number seven, the second one is regulation and checks. That is a difficulty. And that is where items cannot be coming into the European Union or into the single market that could be substandard or aren't checked or haven't got quality controls on them. And that is a big difficulty where the British government seem to have a real problem with. And the third one is customs. And the unique position is that the UK are in the customs area. Northern Ireland is in the single market. And the Geoffrey Donaldson's position, to try and make this simple, Geoffrey Donaldson's position is that it's a terrible thing to ask Northern Unionists to accept the position that goods can come in from England or Scotland or Wales and have to be checked. That's what he says. The EU say they're not just coming into Northern Ireland, they're coming into the single market.
Exactly, yeah.
They're coming into the single market. They have to be checked. So that's where the difference is. Now, in this year of the Lord, in 2022, Eamon, it's not the greatest rocket science in the world to see that if people intensely negotiated, not this thing of meeting for a day every 6 weeks, but yeah, if they intensely worked on this, they should find resolutions to these issues.
But, I mean, the British haven't even built the infrastructure for a minimal series of checks. So that suggests that they were really never going to take this seriously at all.
No, I mean, I think they're trying to, like, I would think from the British government's point of view, I mean, they clearly, and I think you've heard in recent days, both the Taoiseach and the Foreign Affairs Minister say that they just think there's been bad faith in this from the British side altogether. From the Northern Ireland side, and I've been at pains to emphasise this, I mean, there's a huge advantage for Northern Ireland, yeah, to stay in the single market. Here they have an opportunity. The businesses that might normally go to some other part of the United Kingdom and might go to England or Scotland or Wales would actually come to the North because they're in the single market.
Yes.
So this Northern Ireland has lost out, as you and I know, for most of our lifetime. And here is their glorious chance of being able to get investment and infrastructure and new business and new technologies in. They have bright people, they have good universities, and this is their big chance. And they seem to be arguing against the very thing that can have a huge economic effect.
Does this mean that they can't really get rid of the old differences? That they see themselves as British, they seem unwilling to change, even with that huge opportunity for business that there is. And at the same time, you really have in the Johnson government a kind of delinquent government that would be very happy to be fighting with the EU to detract attention from some of their other business that they're anxious not to be, you know, challenged on. So Boris Johnson has myriad problems, as we know, and a good fight with the EU is a good distraction.
Precisely the point, Eamon.
Yeah.
And this is where the Irish question is being complicated,
yes,
and polluted by other issues. I have always felt, and I think if you read Marcus Sakovic's recent, yeah, statement, that Britain have other issues. There are a whole lot of things that Britain did not get into the withdrawal agreement that they would have liked to get in.
Yeah.
Tying down of banking passports, services, financial matters, they're not in the agreement. And they would like to get them into the agreement because nowadays, unlike when you and I were kids, that Britain is not a big industrial country anymore. The,
yes,
money is made on artificial intelligence. It's made on financial services, insurance services. That's where the surplus of British wealth is nowadays. They're not in the agreement. So I think what they're playing the game of not agreeing on things that affect us. They don't say that clearly, but it's very evident, I think, to me and to a lot of people who are dealing with this on an ongoing basis, because they want to lever some of these other issues into it.
Right.
Now, I think that's where we have to, this is where the Irish government have a role that is not just the UK and the EU. We have to call this as it is. This is affecting the stability of the Good Friday Agreement, the stability of politics in Northern Ireland, the ability of us to go forward in a constructive way. And I think, you know, Britain negotiated this deal, and I think we have to call out and look for the areas of difficulties to be clearly published. As things stand at the moment, it seems to be all convoluted to the normal public. But I think what the summary I've given of the issues are the main issues. If there are others, let us hear about them.
Yeah. The American administration, the Biden administration in particular, and Richie Neal, who is, I think, chair of the Ways and Means Committee in the Congress, which is where any trade deal has to pass, they understand the situation. They are on the EU, on Ireland's side in all of this. How significant, and of course they have a huge vested interest in the success of the Good Friday Agreement, which they, along with you and Tony Blair, brokered. How important or unimportant is their leverage, their power in this?
Well, I think their power is as simple as this. Britain want a trade deal,
yeah,
with America, and Richie Neal is in a very powerful position. Nancy Pelosi, equally so, both of Irish descent,
yes,
and so was Biden, and they've made it absolutely clear there will be no trade deal between the United Kingdom and the American administration, as long as they're in the positions they're in, unless these things are resolved. So that's a massive weapon. But I'm afraid Boris keeps getting distracted in other issues. And, you know, he should be honest. He's the one who probably was responsible for getting Brexit through.
Yes.
In the first place, getting it through the electorate. Maybe he never thought he would. But it's not working out that well for the United Kingdom.
No.
And they clearly would like to renegotiate the withdrawal agreement and get other things into it. But what our focus, Eamon, has to be on the issue of the island of Ireland and resolving. We're not going to drop it. We're not going to tear it up. Just amending and getting the practicalities. I think the words the minister used yesterday, that he was up for flexibilities and pragmatism in his implementation. Now, surely be to God if you sat down for a month. I don't think the idea of this dragging on for 6 months is lunacy. Sitting down for the month of May and maybe June, we should be able to get to a clear conclusion on this, accept the British, get away with what they've been doing now for 2 years and complicating it and dragging it out and throwing in red herrings into it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The prospect of a hard border. I mean, the EU is going to defend the single market to the death. They're not going to allow that. So if we don't get, I mean, if for example, if Liz Truss, the British Foreign Secretary, said yesterday, she's thinking of ditching the protocol altogether. If they were to ditch the protocol altogether, we'd have to have a hard border, wouldn't we?
Yeah, but
if they refuse to operate it, they, you know, they're part of the deal. Goods are going to come in and somebody has to check them.
Yeah, but what will happen, Eamon, is that Liz Truss has this threat that they were, and they were apparently seriously thinking about it until recently, that they were going to legislate to effectively stand aside the elements of the protocol. But if they do that, the European Union will trigger the suspension of right. other areas of the withdrawal agreement. So what it will mean is that for Northern Ireland, the British could try and set it aside, but the EU will then cancel out the other areas, and there'll be no trade deal effectively between the UK and the EU. So that's a card that I think the British thought they had, but it would be a bad mistake on their part, not be to do with Ireland, but to do with their overall trade.
When you reflect, Bertie, on the effort that was made to get the Good Friday Agreement and see it implemented, and when you reflect now on what we're looking at, which is probably a relationship with London as bad as it's been for a very, very long time, and the situation in the North, does it have its dangers if, for example, Johnson was to continue and the government he leads was to continue along this kind of delinquent path? Are there dangers?
Yeah, I think it's thankfully we should probably say, Eamon, that the election in the North this time was a good election
yeah.
insofar as it was totally peaceful, very little protest, very little demonstration about anything. Jim Allister, you know, had a good vote. He conducted his campaign. Yes. I don't agree with anything he says, but, you know, he conducted his campaign. So it was a democratic, a good and fair and democratic election. And that was a good thing. I think it is sad that the only thing that's been around the election, and even wasn't part of the election, was hardly mentioned much around it. But the protocol becomes the central issue. And the protocol, of course, equals Brexit.
Yes.
Equals the relationship with Britain. And, you know, here we are 25 years on, having the same old arguments as we had 100 years on.
Yes.
The Irish and British governments at each other's throat. And that's so much of a pity. And it all has emanated out of, you know, my view on Brexit. I think it was a disaster for
yes.
Britain as well. For everybody else, but it's a pity that it's poisoning the progress that we've made.
Yeah, and the trade figures for Britain in its dealings with Europe, for example, show that it hasn't been good for Britain. The question of the border poll, which has receded a little bit in the last few days, but it's there, it's the elephant in the room for any unionist in particular. The proposal by Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, is for a shared Ireland, and he has a shared Ireland unit in his Department of Taoiseach now. What do you make of that?
Well, I think, you know, I'm in favour of any proposals that democratically and peacefully work to finding long-term solutions. Of course, I'd like to see what we used to call a United Ireland, now termed more a New Ireland, a shared island. And there requires to be an awful lot of work done over the next X number of years if we're ever to get to that, because you can't have a vote unless the details are worked out. So I think the work that's ongoing in the Shared Island Unit is good. I think the academic work that's going on, both north and south, is good in preparation for someday having the so-called border poll.
Yeah.
And I think the political maturity of parties everywhere that are saying they're either for a United Ireland or against it, there are unionist parties now working on a unity position. Their arguments. So I think these are legitimate arguments for people to look at it from different sides and do it. So I think any of that work is good. Once it's done peacefully, democratically, I'm in favour of it.
And the immediate future for an executive in the North, an assembly that works, as opposed to what we're facing into now. What's your assessment? There will be a six-month period when it looks like there'll be no government, and then we go back to another election, and there's a kind of stalemate, gridlock, whatever you want to call it. Is that what we're looking at? Would you like to see a conference called now with all the parties at the table to resolve for once and for all the protocol issue?
Well, what I would like to see, Eamon, and first of all, the idea of the 6 months, it could happen, but God forbid. I just hope that my view is this is a 6 week, 2 month job. It shouldn't be allowed to drift on to the end of the summer. And what needs to happen, I think there needs to be engagement at the top level, Prime Minister to Taoiseach, between the two governments here, to get a plan forward. I think the engagement between the European Union and the British government needs to be intensified, not these odd meetings every now and again.
Yes.
I don't think they've had a meeting since February or early March. So that needs to happen. And then we can get to a position of getting a working executive to deal with the bread and butter economic issues and health issues in the North. There is absolutely no reason for this to drift into the autumn, because every day you allow it drift, it'll get worse. People will say things that exasperate the situation. So I really think this is a time for intense negotiations. And listen, you and I know, Eamon, there's always solutions found to everything.
Yep.
Every dispute has its resolution. And it the more you prolong that day, the worse it gets. So I cannot see a valid reason for not an intense period over the second half of May and the full month of June to try and resolve this issue. And if they can't do it then, I don't think they'll ever do it.
I'm just going to ask you a final question, which you may or may not answer. It's your choice. Margaret Thatcher met Mikhail Gorbachev for the first time, and she came out afterwards and said, "He's a man I can do business with." Do you think Boris Johnson is a man anybody can do business with and believe that he's acting in good faith?
The difficulty I have with him, he's a very colourful individual, and
yes,
in some ways he's entertaining, and he obviously attracts a lot of votes, and I can never get over why Northern England, believe him so much.
The Red Bull seats.
Election, I don't get it. But having said that, he seems, his difficulty, I think, is that he never really either reads the brief or understands the brief.
Yes.
He makes the decisions on the seat of his pants. And I don't think it's, let's not accuse him of bad faith or malice, but he does not seem to really get into it. And, you'd like to see him having people with him. And there's plenty of good people in the British government, but people with him that are across the detail. And when they come to a deal, he knows, like, remember, Eamon, he was the journalist in Brussels for years.
Absolutely, yeah.
Was writing about the single market and the benefits of the British idea for the single market. So the idea that he doesn't see the advantages of Northern Ireland being in the single market, and the fact that he's out of it, he gets this. And if we stop the games, we might be able to make some progress.
Okay, Bertie, we're very grateful to you. Former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern, one of the great brokers of deals of all time. And this is a very important deal. We're very grateful to you, Bertie. Thank you very much for joining us. Grateful to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.